teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. No, preacher, not me. I can't live that holy roller life. Well, friend, you're not going to heaven then. Praise God, because if you're going to go to a holy heaven and serve a holy God and be in the company of holy angels and around a holy throne, walking on holy streets, amen, in a holy atmosphere, you're going to have to get a little bit of holiness down in your life, brother. You're going to have to start living for God. Whew. Starting to feel pretty good. Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll just hop on this train right here and go along with it for a little while. Praise God. Well, anyhow, that might be sometimes a good thing and sometimes not. And I try to use discretion a little bit because I could preach on the topic of holiness just about anywhere I go. But there is something of a connection between the rapture and holiness. And I'd like to, from the scriptures, try to convince us of that truth. You see, I didn't finish our text there. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13, he said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, friend, there is a real connection between the rapture and a holy life. Praise God. Amen. W.E.B., he wrote a book called Jesus Is Coming in the early 1900s. He said, surely no doctrine in the Word of God presents a deeper motive for crucifying the flesh and for separation unto God than this does. The rapture of the church. Amen. After salvation, you need to be living for God, living for heaven, living for holiness. Amen. In order to see God, he said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath a pure heart and clean hands. Amen. Who is it that's going to see God? It's the pure in heart, my friend. I'm telling you, holiness is not something of a bygone day. It's not for just the 1900s. It wasn't just for the apostles. Amen. It's for the 2010 and 2011. Praise God, it's for us. We have got to live holy if we're going to see God. That's the reason them old timers preach holiness like they did, because they really believed that Jesus was coming just like he said he was. And there's a connection between holiness and the rapture. Some of the greatest preachers of all time have linked the rapture and holiness together. The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, he said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He said, mortify therefore. Anytime you see a therefore in the scriptures, my friends, especially you young aspiring preachers, you need to understand that when you see therefore in the Bible, you need to ask the question, wherefore? Wherefore is it therefore? Amen. And the reason of that is, when you see a therefore in the scriptures, that's a something that he's drawing upon. He's building on something that he previously mentioned. And he said that when Christ appears, we're going to appear with him in glory. And then he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Can you see there the link between holiness and the rapture? Can you see the therefore that holds it together? Praise God. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, he said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God. He said, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Praise God. There's a link right there between the rapture and how we ought to live. Amen. Living in such a way as to be ready. My friends, it will take a life of holiness. And I'm not talking about how long your sleeve is, or how long your dress is, or how long your hair is. Amen. God does not give a requirement upon the length of your hair, except that it should be uncut. That's the only requirement in the scriptures. There's some people in Africa, there are women there, their hair does not grow as long as some other women's are. Everybody's different. God does not give a requirement on the length of your hair. There might be somebody battling cancer and their hair is falling out. Does that mean they're not living right? No. Amen. As long as they keep the scissors out of it, as long as they keep the trimmer out of it, amen. Well, the candle, or they bite it or pull it or whatever they do. Amen. That's all that really matters. It's not about the length of the hair. Amen. It's about the matter of the heart. Is your heart right with God? Are you living pure before God? Are you obeying Him? Amen. I'm glad Paul didn't say, ladies, your hair has to be 3 feet long in order to go to heaven. I'm glad he didn't give that. No, friend, that's not a requirement of the rapture. The requirement is that we are to live holy. Praise God. Well, I better just move off that train right there. Stanley Horton, a Pentecostal theologian, he said that the rapture is the climax of the Christian faith. He said New Testament Christianity must be lived in the light and expectation of Christ's return. He said, to the degree that any church or individual minimizes or neglects that hope, to that degree, they have drifted from the full gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, don't drift away from the truth of the gospel, the fact that Jesus is coming again. Oh yes, He came the first time as a lamb that was silent before the shears. Amen. He came the first time as a lamb, but friend, He's coming again. Praise God. He is coming again. And it is vitally important to your hope of making the rapture that you live holy. He said that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Amen. Number one, you need to be looking for it. Number two, you need to be living for it. But lastly, in our text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, writing to a young preacher, young pastor, who was left there to pastor the church that Paul started in Ephesus. He's writing to him and he says, Timothy, I've come down to the end of my road. I've finished the course that I was set to go on. He said, I have fought the good fight of faith. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to be poured out and offered unto God. I'm ready to go, he said. And then verse number 8, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. He said, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. You need to be looking for it. You need to be living for it. But friend, you need to be longing for it to happen. He said, unto all them that love His appearing. Are you longing for Jesus to come? Are you longing for Christ to come? Hey friend, you may be in a trial. You may be in a dark valley. But when Jesus comes, oh, hallelujah, all trials will be past. Amen. That song says when we sing around the throne eternal. And does anybody know the verse to that song there? Well, I don't either, but it's a good song. And it says something about your trials being over, something about your dark days being gone. Amen. We sing the song, Someday. Is that a song? Someday. No, that's not the song I'm thinking of. Well, she said earlier that we don't even know the songs we sing, amen, in our church. But I'm telling you what, we need to be longing for the rapture. Praise God. It's something that you need to love. You need to long for it to happen. Amen. There was a longing in Paul's heart to go and be with Jesus. Amen. Many today don't even believe in the rapture of the church. They don't even believe that it's real. Some believe that it's not going to happen just right away. You don't need to be necessarily prepared for it because there's other things that must happen before. No, friend, there is nothing in this world that must occur before the rapture. You better be ready right now because it could happen in 30 seconds. Amen. I'm talking about longing for the rapture. It is this event in which all the redeemed of every age will unite. The dead in Christ and the living in Christ are going to put on immortality. They're going to put on a body of incorruption. Amen. We're going to be like Jesus. Amen. It's the rapture that makes possible for God's people to escape the tribulation period that's coming on this earth. It's the rapture that marks the beginning of eternal triumph over Satan. No more having to worry about sin. No more having to kneel at an altar and confess your sins. Praise God. No more sinful nature. No more old man. We talk about crucifying the flesh. The old man will be once and for all put down. Praise God. No more struggle. No more battle. Amen. No more pain. No more death. No more sickness. No sorrow. No crying there. No more dying there. No more curse. Oh, hallelujah. I said we need to be longing for the rapture. Amen. Some of you, you've lost your longing for it. Amen. You've lost sight of it. Your eyes have not been looking unto Jesus. Amen. You've forgotten about it. You've pushed it to the side. It's not real important to you. Amen. You don't think about it every day. I'm telling you what, you better start thinking about it. Longing for the rapture. Come on up and help me if you would. Are you longing for the rapture of the church? 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter says, and he's telling about end time events, prophecy. And he goes beyond the rapture and beyond the tribulation period, and on into the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and actually on to the end of that. Can you imagine an unlearned fisherman like Peter? How much, you know, I'm always amazed at how much the Holy Ghost can pack truth into such a limited amount of words. I'm amazed at the ability of the Scriptures to do that. But an unlearned fisherman who didn't know very much, he wrote some of the most profound, some of the most things that the prophets of old, it was even dark for them to understand these things. He shed so much light on the end times. He said in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 10, he said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Now, he's not talking about the rapture there. He's talking about the second coming of Christ, the second advent when he comes to destroy the Antichrist and all the sinners on this earth. He said, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens..." And then he goes on past that time, past the millennial reign of Christ. He says, "In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." He said, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" You see, friends, there's a lot of people that thinks, well, prophecy doesn't really matter. All that end time mumble jumble. All that stuff that, you know, nobody can understand the book of Revelation, so why read it anyhow? No, I'm telling you what, we can understand the book of Revelation. Praise God, I've read it through a number of times, and I don't understand every single thing about it, amen, but I know enough to know this, that Jesus is coming. Praise God, I know enough about the book of Revelation that when he said, "Come up hither," praise God, there's going to be a rapture, and we're going to go with Jesus when he comes. But Peter said that in light of all that's going to happen in the end times, the earth is going to be burnt up with fire. You can't cling to your millions then. You can't cling to houses. You can't cling to cars. You can't cling to mansions. Friend, everything upon the face of this earth is going to burn. It's going to be a ball of molten lava, fire, burnt up. The trees are going to be burnt up. The oceans are going to be burnt up. He said the elements of the earth, amen, are going to melt. That means the rocks, the hills, the mountains, the trees, amen, the oceans, everything, houses, cars, steel, all the ore that's in the earth and all the elements there, amen, hydrogen, everything's going to be burnt up. And he said, in light of that fact, he said, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In other words, what he was saying was, yeah, prophecy does matter because it affects how you live, and how you live determines your eternal destiny. Amen. I'm glad that there is a hope for the church. Amen. I come tonight to stir us. Amen, to provoke our minds and our thoughts towards the coming of Jesus for the church. Amen, we need to be looking for it. We need to be living for it. We need to be longing for it. Amen. Could we stand tonight? I know it's real simple. Wasn't really very good preaching. But I'm telling you what, maybe you're here and you're the one that needed to hear this. You're the one needed stirred up in your remembrance. You know, Peter, I was talking about him a while ago and the things he wrote. He also said something about, wherefore I stir up your mind unto remembrance. And that's what we need. We need to be reminded about the things that are about to happen. Amen. We need to be reminded of how we live. Praise God. Well, I got two questions for you. Number one, are you ready for the rapture? And I'm not talking about breaking out a pen and a piece of paper. But I'm talking about looking into your heart and seeing, are you ready for the rapture of the church? Are you ready for Jesus? Are you ready to stand before the throne of God and for God to open up the book and for you to stand in judgment before Almighty God? Are you ready for the rapture? Is every sin under the blood of Jesus? Is every fault beneath the blood? Amen. You may have messed up and stumbled today. Would you bring it to the altar? Would you bring it to the cross? Amen. You may have slipped up. Are you ready? Question number one. Question number two. If not, then why not? How about it, friends? It's real. Praise God, it's real. But there are some requirements to go in the rapture. I'd like for us all to come find a place to pray. Amen. And we need to thank God. If you are ready, you need to come down here and thank Him and ask Him to help you to remember. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. And if you're not ready, friend, you need to come down here and make it right. You need to search your heart and see, are you ready for the coming of Jesus? He's coming back again, friends. The Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, is coming. Hallelujah, hallelujah.